so good. As we begin, and then we'll continue with our youth emphasis service. Remember, we're praying for a lot of people, but in particular right now in the hospital, Joe Newberry, who seems to be rallying some. He's out of ICU, and we're praying that that continues. Also, Ruth Brookover, now in Health South, in room 225. If you want to be a part of the coal miner outreach, soups, dried beans, spam, and treat. I don't know what treat is, but I announced it. Oh, okay. Spam and a better form of spam. If you know what it is, you can place it back in room 2. Those supplies are needed by March 11th. Young at Heart is collecting kitchen, bathroom, and personal items to be given to the women at the Family Crisis Center as they begin to set up housekeeping on their own. Items can be placed in laundry baskets in the multipurpose room. For our young ones, a reminder that in a couple Sundays on March 20th, there's going to be an Easter egg hunt organized for them. Some more details will follow soon, I'm sure, but please keep in mind we're having that for the kids. Ladies, if you're being involved in helping plan and participate in Ladies Inspiration Day, which we're hosting, there's a meeting after our service this afternoon. Please come to that and be a part of that, and be excited that Ladies Inspiration Day will be here not very long from now. I think that's all the ones that I meant to mention right now. Want us to sing a song. Part of it's going to be pretty familiar, I think, and then I want to teach you a little addition to it, and I'll need your help on that, but it's number 473, I think, in our books, and so we'll sing the first part of it, and then I'll teach you the special add-on. All right? There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh. So I want you to keep in mind, because we're going to sing that. But I want to teach you another part that I grew up singing that you all have to help me with. Some of you might know it. Some of you may think you've never heard it before. It's a little bit crazy. But I'm going to sing you a question, and you have to sing me back the answer. Okay? So I'm going to say, like, "Oh, church, do you love Jesus?" And you're going to sing back to me, "Oh, yes, I love Jesus," or "we," whatever's appropriate. All right, so let's practice that. "Oh, church, do you love Jesus?"
"Oh, yes, we love Jesus."
Well, they know this song. "Are you sure you love Jesus?"
"Yes, we're sure we love Jesus."
"Tell us why you love Jesus." Correct answer is, "This is why we love Jesus." And then we go into the chorus. All right? "This is why we love Jesus, because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me." Now, I'm going to ask different groups this question, this sing-songy question. And I'll just warn you, if you don't answer with sufficient oomph, you're going to have to do it again. Okay? So don't be embarrassed, just sing. All right? So let's see, what group do I want to ask first? Okay. Oh, kids, do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay, we're going to have to include your parents and kids, but I'll say kids. And then kids, if I don't see you speaking up, we're going to run laps or something. Oh, kids, do you love Jesus?
Yes, we love Jesus.
Okay, you know the words. Now we're going to speak them loud. Oh, kids, do you love Jesus?
Yes, we love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
Yes, we sure we love Jesus.
Tell us why you love Jesus.
This is why we love Jesus.
Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, adults, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, we love Jesus.
You hear how they do that? Come on. Are you sure you love Jesus?
Yes, we sure we love Jesus.
Tell us why you love Jesus.
This is why we love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh.
Individual. Okay? So who would that be in this audience? Oh, Dennis, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, I love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
Yes, I'm sure I love Jesus.
Tell us why you love Jesus.
This is why I love Jesus.
Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Reading and our prayer now.
I'll be reading from Luke 10:30-33. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you blessed us with. And we come to you now asking you to bless this time of worship. We just ask that you're pleased with us, and we open our hearts and our minds, and we learn something from this lesson. And we ask that you bless these kids here in the front and just help them to learn something and apply it to their lives. We love you, God, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. How well do we know our Old Testament books? Can you say them backwards?
No.
Forwards? Inside out? Okay. Do you know the song? The song that teaches the Old Testament with books. Let's try that. I hope I can remember them. Oh, there we go. Let's see. What's the first one? Genesis. That's right. It goes like this. Now you sing with me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Oh, I caught you. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. We got to work on those. Let's remember next month, let's sing those. How about the New Testament? You know the New Testament books a little better? I'll probably mess this up. What do we start with? Matthew. All right, let's try that one. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and letter to the Romans. 1st and 2nd Corinthians.
Galatians and Ephesians. Philippians, Colossians. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. 1st and 2nd Timothy. Titus and Philemon. Hebrews, James. 1st and 2nd Peter. 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. Jude and Revelation.
Good. Stand up. Stand up with me for a minute. Okay, I don't know if this will be a brand new song to you. Hope not, because you didn't sing loud on the last new one. This is called I Love the Lord Messiah. I guess I have to teach it to you. It's a fun song once you know it. But it starts out like this. I love the Lord Messiah deep down in my heart. How many know that? Okay, I'm not by myself. I love the Lord Messiah deep down in my heart. I love the Lord Messiah deep down in my heart. And then we say, said deep, deep, I said down, down, I said deep down in my heart. And all the basses go, yeah, at the end of that, okay? So you got to hear some yeahs. Said deep, deep, I said down, down, I said deep down in my heart. Deep, deep, I said down, down, I said deep down in my heart. I love my Christian family deep down in my heart. I love my Christian family deep down in my heart. Said deep, deep, said down, down, I said deep down in my heart. Said deep, deep, said down, down, I said deep down in my heart. I forgot the next line. I love to go to church deep down in my heart. I love to go to church deep down in my heart. Said deep, deep, said down, down. I said deep down in my heart. Said deep, deep, said down, down. I said deep down in my heart. Good. I'll let you sit. Should have the words in front of me. One more song, and then Dennis is going to speak to us. It's a simple little song that you know, I'm sure. Since we're getting ready to hear from the Bible, let's sing the B-I-B-L-E. Let's sing it through a couple times. Ready? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone
on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
It's all yours.
Thank you, Mark. We're all full of surprises this year, aren't we? Never know who's going to be leading the singing. How many of you were here this morning? How many of you can tell me what the sermon was about? Hey, we got a right answer. Well, we're going to talk about that again tonight, because that's an important theme, and it's something that that Jesus taught, and it's something that we want to understand what he meant, and it's something that we want to understand how it applies to us. And so we're going to look through that tonight, line by line. Now, Jesus told this story in answer to a question that somebody asked him. He told it to teach a lesson and to answer a question. We're going to look at the question at the end, but we're going to look at the story right now, what he said. So, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So we've got a guy, and he's going on a trip. Okay, now Jerusalem was up on top of a mountain. Jericho was down at the bottom of the mountain and out on the plain by the River Jordan. Okay, It was about 16 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho. Anybody know how far that is? Anybody ever eaten a Cracker Barrel? Okay. From here to the Cracker Barrel in Mineral Wells is about 16 miles. If you go down through town and go through all the stoplights, it takes you a lot longer, but it's not quite 16 miles if you go that way. If you go out to the interstate and down, it doesn't take you near as long, but it's a little farther than 16 miles. So if you take the average, he was like he was going to Cracker Barrel. Okay, so if you guys were going to Cracker Barrel, if your family says, hey, we're going to Cracker Barrel for supper, how would you expect to get there? Get in the car, okay? Get in the car and drive, okay? They didn't have cars back then, okay? This guy was probably going to walk, okay? Now, he may have had a donkey. We don't know. It doesn't tell us that. But he was on his way to go 16 miles. Now, if he was walking, he's lucky because he's taking the downhill ride, okay? If he's in Jericho and has to go to Jerusalem, he's got to walk up the hill. But it's going to take him most of the day if he walks. So whereas we can get in the car and be a Cracker Barrel in 15 minutes, or maybe 20, depending on who's driving, it was going to take him all day to get there. Okay, so we've got a guy. He's on a trip. He's going to Jericho. I took my bookmark out. So a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. So, you know, we all the time say, well, we're going to Cracker Barrel, or we're going to church, or we're going somewhere. Back then, it was a little more dangerous, a little more risky to go, especially if you're going by yourself. And this guy got jumped by some bad guys who stole everything he had. If he had a donkey, they took it. If he didn't, they took his money, they took everything that he had, they beat him up. And they left him, and as far as they knew, he was dead, because they didn't just knock him down and take his stuff. They beat him badly, left him for dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road. Now, what's a priest? Matthew.
One of the leaders of Israel.
One of the leaders of Israel, okay? One of the main guys in the temple. Okay, a priest was one who, he was kind of like a leader of worship. He offered the sacrifices for the people, and so he was a main person in the worship of the Jews in Jerusalem and at the temple. Okay, so if we wanted to look at someone who was like that today, and we're fortunate because a lot of our guys can lead worship. Okay, we can talk about the sacrifice that Jesus made, or we can lead a prayer, or we can lead a song. Okay, but somebody who's up front a lot, somebody that you see a lot, somebody that has picked on me tonight and we want to pick on, who would you think of that we might consider as equivalent to a priest today? Okay, let's say we're thinking about Mark. Okay, now what would you expect if Mark was walking to Cracker Barrel, and he came up with a man that was laying on the side of the road, and he'd been beaten, and he was half dead? What would you expect Mark to do? Eddie, help him out, okay? Go over, find out what's wrong, find out if he's okay. Today, we could call 911 and get some help to him. Back then, we'll find out it was a little more complicated than that. That's what we would expect from a priest and a leader in the temple. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He sees the guy laying there. He crosses the road to the other side and keeps going. Not what we would expect. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him. What was a Levite back then? Matthew? Okay, and the priests did most of the offerings, but of course the priests were Levites. But there were other Levites who weren't priests who also served in the temple. They were the guys who made sure all the lamps were lit. They cleaned up after the priests. They made sure that everything was going to work the way it was supposed to work. Okay, so they had an important part in the temple. They had an important part in worship also. That would be somebody in our equivalent, if we were looking for somebody like that, maybe like a deacon, maybe like Tim, who led our prayer. Okay, Tim's a deacon, and he does a lot of the maintenance and things around here. So let's say Tim was on his way to Cracker Barrel, and he saw this person laying along the side of the road. What would you expect Tim to do? Tim's probably going to stop and help. Tim's probably going to try to find this guy a way to help him out and see if he's all right. But in our story, the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Okay, so now this guy's laying there. He sees two people coming that he thinks, oh, I'm going to be okay because these guys are going to help me. And they just cross over and keep going. And so now he sees a Samaritan coming. A Samaritan was a foreigner. A Samaritan was somebody that didn't get along with the Jews, and the Jews didn't get along with them. They really didn't like each other. And so there was a lot of animosity, a lot of conflict. It wouldn't be somebody that you would pick out and go to try to help. And this Samaritan comes along. And as he journeyed, he came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Now, what does compassion mean? It involves love, okay? You guys who have had me in class, what do I do when I find a word and I want to know what it means? Get my dictionary out. Compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune. Now, is it possible that the priest had a feeling of sympathy and sorrow for this man who was laying alongside the road? He may have, but he didn't do anything about it. Okay? Same with the Levite. The Levite might have saw him and say, wow, that guy's in bad shape. I feel really bad for him, but I'm going to go over here and walk down the road. There's two parts to the definition. I only read you the first half. A feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. So compassion involves feeling sorry for somebody, recognizing that they're in a bad way, feeling sorry for them, and wanting to help them out. And that's the difference between the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan. The Samaritan saw the problem, had compassion on the man, and so he went to help him. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. All right. I need somebody who's going to be our journeyman. Volunteer. No volunteers? Am I going to have to pick on somebody? You don't want me to pick on somebody. Do you want to do it? No. No volunteers? It doesn't have to be a guy. Well, I'm not going to call on any adults because I know I'll get a worse response than I'm getting now. Hey, Matthew, you answered all the questions. Come on up. Be my man. Okay, we'll skip that part. So when the question that Jesus was asked, Jesus was teaching why it's important for us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And when he gave that answer, that was an important commandment, the person who was asking him said, who is my neighbor? Because he wanted to be able to say, well, I already love my neighbors. And so Jesus told this story. Now, do you think based on this story, that what Jesus means when he wants us to love our neighbor is that we just have to make sure if we ever find somebody laying alongside the road that we help them out. That's all he means. He doesn't mean anything else. If you find someone in need, you help them. If you find somebody in a situation, like the definition of compassion talks about, in a situation where they need our help or they need us to do something for them, then we do what we can to help them. We show love and compassion for them. Do you think that's something I should tell the people in the back too? Okay. We're talking a lot about the Good Samaritan and about this story, okay? And there are lots of ways that people need our help. There are lots of ways that we can show compassion for people. There are people around us every day who are hurting. People around us every day who can use our encouragement or our help in some way, and sometimes they just need a kind word, and sometimes they need us to share the gospel with them, because that's another part of the definition. If someone is beat up and laying alongside the road, they are stricken by misfortune. And they need our sympathy and our sorrow, and they need us to alleviate their suffering. If someone is lost in their sins, then they are stricken and in need of us to alleviate their suffering. And we can do that. We can show compassion for them by sharing the gospel with them. And so when Jesus answers the question, who is our neighbor? It's anyone that we know or anyone that we come in contact with that we can help in that way. And so we need to be aware of those people. We need to be filled with a strong desire to alleviate their suffering. When we offer an invitation, we always talk about, well, first of all, we always use a lot of words that we understand or think we understand that people on the outside or people who aren't accustomed to church might not understand. One word that we use a lot is to repent. And sometimes I think it's good for us to remind ourselves what it means to repent. Kids, what's it mean to repent? Say it loud. To change the way you think and act. So our invitation tonight is that if there's anything in your life that you need to change, the way you're thinking about or the way you're acting, then while we sing this song, you need to think about that and make a decision to repent, to change the way you think and act. It may be that we have neighbors that we haven't been compassionate with. Maybe that we have neighbors that we haven't spoken to about Jesus. If that's the case, we need to repent. We need to change the way we think and act. If you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel and you've never become a follower of Jesus, then you need to repent and you need to change the way you think and act. If there's anything that you need to do tonight, any way you need to respond to the invitation, if there's something you want us to pray for you about, we offer this invitation. We give you the opportunity to come forward and let us know about that. And if you'll all stand, we'll sing that invitation song.
the opportunity today to commune, take the Lord's Supper. It is prepared for you. Back to my right in room number 2, there'll be people there to serve you. And we're going to out here sing number 870 as a closing song. And after this, we'll be dismissed in prayer. Glad you're able to be here tonight. And thank you for the young people being here and participating. And for everybody else for helping. I'm happy
today, oh yes, I'm happy today, in Jesus Christ. I'm happy today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. I'm singing today, oh yes, I'm singing today.
This opportunity we've had to gather together to study your word with these young people of our congregation. We are all children of thine, and we pray, Father, that we'd be blessed from the teachings of this evening, or the afternoon. We pray, Father, that you'll be with those that are sick and those that are hurting, that you'll be with those who are the shut-ins that are unable to be with us. We pray, Father, that their health may be improved where they can assemble with us once again. We pray that you'll go with us as we separate, that you'll give us a safe trip home, and you'll guide us throughout this week, and we'll always look to you for guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.